When I looked at this issue being July, August, the thing that I hear from people in the pool industry, especially in service, is just how brutal it is. And so the longer I've been in the industry and the more that I've heard that story, I kind of wanted to put together an issue that talked about that and talked about how do you deal with that, but not just from a like operation standpoint, but from a mental health standpoint, because I think that's where the rubber really meets the road. You get tired, your body's tired. But when you really start to get in trouble is when your mind gets tired and you start to let that affect you. That is what I really wanted to focus on and talk about in this issue, was protecting your mental health during the pool season.
Welcome to the Pool Chasers Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Viafania, joined by my co-host, Justin the Bearded Plumber Bowie.
Yes.
And today we got Megan Kendrick back on the podcast. How you doing, Megan?
I'm doing all right. I got a little summer cold, but you know.
Summer cold? That sucks.
It's fine. I know, a summer cold.
Summer colds are always the weirdest, right? But it's hot outside. You're used to getting a cold when it's freezing cold in a cabin or some shit.
I know. Yeah, it's annoying. It just feels like it shouldn't happen. And then when it does, you're just more frustrated by it, I think, definitely, than anything else. Yeah. But I've never been on the podcast with Justin before.
Yeah, here we go.
Exciting. Have I moved up the ranks to get Justin co-host?
There was a whole meeting about it. Like, what do you think, man? Like, yeah, I think she's ready.
It's time.
Let's do it.
It's time.
I like it. Perfect.
So we got the July-August issue of Pool Pro Magazine out. Excited about it. Love the cover. Can you tell us about that?
This is an interesting issue, both from the topics that I wanted to cover in it, and then also the last minute like phone calls that had to be made to get it actually out and finished. So just first off, on the cover, it's Spartan Pool and Patio, which those guys are here in Norman. I know them personally. They're a great, great guys, great business. And actually just like did a huge favor for us, because the photo shoot for the company that we were going to cover just didn't happen. And so it's like the week before we're trying to put this issue to bed, and it's like we got nothing. So, you know, it's... this happens very rarely, but when it does, it is great to have good people and friends in the industry that you can call and just be like, I'm so sorry. I know it's summer. I know you're slammed, but we're desperate. Can you do this for us? And yeah. And so, of course, they're amazing. And they said no problem. And they're a business that's well worthy of being covered in the magazine anyway. And so it was pretty cool. And they've got a great story.
So they're right next to you in Oklahoma, a local.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So they're local guys. They have lived here their whole lives. Sam goes to my church. those roots go deep, right? but they're a local company, and their growth has been so cool, because they started out, their grandpa started out doing like vinyl liner pools, right? That's what he did. He was like a major league baseball player, came back to Oklahoma and started this pool company. And they didn't end up buying their grandpa's business, but he got them into the business, right? And so they did, you know, they continued doing vinyl liner. Then they went to doing concrete. And then now they bought out another business. So now they're in retail. And so their growth has just been really cool, and steady and smart. And then also the thing that I love about these two is like they take leadership very seriously. And so how they lead their team, how they grow their team, how they add to their team, and also like how they see themselves in the community and fitting in with that is very, they take it really seriously. And so it's just, I love talking to people who are so thoughtful about their business, and not just like the numbers and all of that, but also like, you know, the people, because that's always the hard part, right? Yeah.
So in the magazine, it was saying that you know, they've always been told not to, you know, have a partnership with somebody in your family. And, you know, they had been best friends and brothers and all this stuff, and it just works out for them. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that advice still holds true. Like, be careful who you take it, you know, you have a partnership with. But I think that their relationship is just so well suited to a partnership. They are step siblings, so they kind of came together, you know, midway in their childhood and not, you know, weren't born into the same family immediately. So I think that kind of plays a role too, where there's a little bit of a choice there, yeah. Right? Even though they're kids, they don't get to choose like who their parents are going to marry. But at the same time, like they did have that kind of like, are we going to be a family or not? And yeah, just very well grounded on their values. And so I think that's what it comes down to in a partnership, right? Is like, do you value the same things? And does that go into how you run your company? And for them, the answer is yes. And so it's, I think that's how good partnerships always work, right? Like you just have to have that foundation of not only trust, but also we care about the same things and come push or shove. Like when things get tough, you know, this is what we choose because that's who we are as people.
Cool. So what else we got in the issues? A lot of summer stuff.
There is a lot of summer stuff. When I looked at this issue being July, August, the thing that I hear from people in the pool industry, especially in service, is just how brutal it is. And so the longer I've been in the industry and the more that I've heard that story, I kind of wanted to put together an issue that talked about that and talked about how do you deal with that, but not just from a like operations standpoint, but from a mental health standpoint, because I think that's where the rubber really meets the road. You get tired, your body's tired. But when you really start to get in trouble is when your mind gets tired and you start to let that affect you. That is what I really wanted to focus on and talk about in this issue, was protecting your mental health during the pool season and making sure that you don't come out of it needing a medication and therapy. And if you do, that's fine. But like, let's make sure we're taking care of ourselves, you know?
That's pretty good, because I know that was always tough for me. You get burned out. You know, physically burned out from the heat and then mentally burned out from just the grind, man. It's tough.
As a business owner, it's the thing that I think I anticipated the least about being a business owner is how hard that part of running a business was going to be. And I feel like it wasn't until really recently that I realized like the actual toll that was taking on me and the toll it was taking on my health, because you put your head down and you do it, right? Like, and you just plow through, you get it done, you do what has to get done. But when you do that for years and years and years, like at some point you wake up and you're like, you know, I don't feel great. And this has been going on for a while and it's probably not sustainable for like the next 20 years or however long I'm going to be doing this, you know? So it's kind of one of those, it's been so much a part of my growth and journey and learning process as a business owner myself. And I sit behind the desk. You know, like it's different when you're actually out there having to like physically, when you throw in the physical exhaustion and like you said, the heat and all of that part of
it's
it.
It's funny. Right? I was going to send Greg a message the other day. I thought, have you seen the meme where it's like the starter pack and it'll be like four things you need for whatever? I was going to do like the pool business owner and it was going to be like a bottle of like a Omeprazole, like a Prozac, a bottle of water and like
some electrolytes,
a noose tying, directions.
Yeah. And we know,
yes,
or whatever else you need. Like, yeah. Well, that was kind of thing where it's like, I probably need to not drink this much. Like, as a business owner, like, this isn't, like, it's fine. But, you know, you find yourself being like, you know, I'm going to have a drink to celebrate and commiserate and just to relax in general. And you're like, oh, I guess that's.
I never stop drinking.
That's awesome. It's crazy. There's some, people out there that still don't, you know, especially in Arizona, every summer it's going to be extremely hot, but there's people that haven't figured out how to work in the heat. You know, I was visiting one of the PE jobs, and the guys got done with lunch, and they were, you know, kind of like resting like under the patio. And it's like, I think some people would, you know, go in the truck, crank up the AC, and I'm like, fuck, like it's 113 degrees outside and just chilling right here. But, you know, they're so smart about it. They know it's like, dude, it's better if we transition from, you know, 105 in the shade, you know, back to 113 than, you know, 75 degrees.
Yeah. Shock yourself.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Well, and yeah, you guys have been all over the news with heat this summer.
That's breaking all the records.
I mean, it's brutal. It's
all the wrong.
Well, it's brutal here. Like, we're breaking all our records too. And I can't even imagine adding like 10 or 15 degrees to that.
Are you close? This is kind of off topic, but are you close to Monkey Island? Like, where are you at in Oklahoma?
I'm in Norman. So we're the University of Oklahoma. Is.
Okay. We did some work out there in a place north of Tulsa called Monkey Island. It's like some lake. Everybody goes there in the summer.
Never heard of Monkey Island, so I mean, is this like rich exclusive?
I mean, we got flown out there to do a project, so it was a high profile client.
So yeah, so kind of. The answer is yes. Okay, so I'm not cool enough apparently, or rich enough to go to Monkey Island. Is what you're telling me? That's fine. I'm okay with that. I'm gonna look it up.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Supposedly that's the spot everybody goes when it gets hot because it's a huge lake. So I don't know. It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
Interesting. I mean, there's a lot of huge lakes in Oklahoma, but well, I don't know. Was it? Anyway,
I have lots of questions.
Google.
nobody else cares.
Next
about
issue.
Me.
Welcome to Monkey Island.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Seriously. We did an Instagram live for 30 under 40 a couple weeks ago, and it was basically like, hey guys, welcome to my vacation. I'm just going to show you around and talk about work while I'm out here, because I'll do that with Monkey Island. It's just an excuse
there you go.
For me to get to go there.
So what else is in the issue that pertains to the summer and how people can better, you know, get through it?
Yeah. I mean, so we kind of have two big stories, right? The one that's like taking care of yourself, and then the one that's like, how do you run your business more efficiently in the summer? But I think for me, like still that, in both of them, I feel like that kind of mental health piece still is like, it's still the biggest thing that gets talked about. Because when you're talking about how to efficiently run your business, if you are not a healthy leader at that point, like it all just falls apart.
Yeah.
I don't know. And you talk about guys learning about how to work in the heat and how to do that and like listening to their bodies. And I think it's the same thing even with your mental health is listening to your body, right? Because it will tell you first if you've overdone it, you know, even like mentally, right? You're like, you know, this doesn't feel right. Or why is my heart racing all the time? Or why does it feel like I'm carrying around this rock in the pit of my stomach, you know? Like those things are kind of like the beginning warning signs of, you know, you gotta work on this and something's not right. So, I don't know. I feel like when I read both articles, while the intent of them was different, when I sat down and read them, I was like, there is just a very common thread through all of these. So that was kind of the thing that, I don't know. That's just the thing that stood out to me the most, and the thing that, I think our industry is just starting to maybe wake up to is a little bit. And think maybe it's like a cultural thing too, right? We're all, self-care is a big buzzword these days for men and women.
Well, it is very serious. And that's something we've talked about having an episode on, because there, like you said, everybody's body is different. And the way that, you know, you respond to the heat is going to be different. But there's a lot of signs that will tell you that, you know, maybe a stroke is coming, or maybe a heart attack. You know, if you are in 115 degree weather and you stop sweating, that's a huge problem, because sweating is, you know, really good. I sweat an insane amount. I can't imagine it being good, but that's how your body is actually, you know, responding to the heat and cooling your inner self off. But
yeah.
Those cold plunges, you know, they talk a lot about that, is it's good if you do it all year long. Like your body builds resilience, and they call it grit, but your body builds this resilience.
When it's
freezing cold, you're going to do better. If you're, you know, in the heat, you're going to do, you know, good as well. but there's a lot of different things.
Well, and I've been doing a lot of training myself, just in in embodied leadership, which, you know, it took me a really long time to even figure out what that meant, and I'm sure I won't be able to convey it very well. But about reading the little signs in your body, all the things that you kind of learned to turn off as a kid because it's socially acceptable, but starting to understand, like, okay, this feeling of frustration is the beginning part to a bigger stress reaction, right? And so, like, how do I handle this now when it's in this, like, minuscule frustration level, you know, so it doesn't escalate into this big thing. And 3 months later, I'm still thinking about this little thing that I could have handled at the time. And so it's like, it's not about changing your stress reaction, but learning how to recognize it and work with it so that you can handle it and you can deal with your reaction within yourself, but then also with your team and with the people that you're leading, and you can be more authentic with them and just a better leader overall because you're healthier, right? So anyway, it's been fascinating. I feel like every time I sit in on one of these classes, I come away with, like, my brain is just exploding, and I have learned so much about myself, which I think is probably the key to all of it that we don't like to do because it's uncomfortable. But yeah, like, it's amazing how your body tells you things, again, like, way before your mind even figures out what's happening.
What do you think about that? Because, you know, Justin is, you know, the best leader I've ever known. He just gets shit all day long. You know, there's a pinata above his desk. But, you know, the difference is, you know, the way he responds to things and just handling shit. I've never, you know, it's taught me a lot. When things come your way, if it's something you can knock out, like, get that shit done and move on to the next, because if you put it off, it's just going to keep stacking up. But I mean, how do you ask us?
I mean, I agree with what you said. I think nip in the bud when it's young, you know, probably before it escalates. I don't know that I'm the best at that, but that's key for sure. Recognizing it.
Well, like in the trades, you know, because I mean, for, you know, what we do and, you know, what Megan does, they're both stressful, but they are, you know, different things.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. How do you feel like, so Justin, at the beginning of your career versus now, when you just have a complete disaster or you get a phone call or something is just totally, it's bad. Like, how what's changed in how you would have dealt with it, you know, in the first couple of years of business ownership versus where you're at?
It definitely feels more urgent when you're new because you so bad want to control problems. And then eventually, hopefully, you learn how to, like, flow with problems instead of resist the problems. Mm-hmm. I think that's the big difference, is, like, you grow to get to the point where you're like, all right, there's no way I'm going to prevent these problems from happening, but I'm going to deal with them like this. I think that's right. The key. That's the difference.
Yeah. 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 I feel like once you kind of have good systems in place that you feel like are, you know, I mean, you're always improving them, but, like, the best that they can be, and stuff still goes wrong, you're like, okay, well, we're just going to, we can't prevent it. I think that's a good switch in your mindset as far as, like, wanting to control it all and just being and realizing that, you know, it is what it is. Like, you're going to have an issue. And so how am I going to
control freak. So anything I can't control, if I can delegate it to a different part of my brain that's trying to problem solve instead of control it, I'll take it.
But I think what's good too is, you know, you have such good intuition. And I think that's really important. Like, if you know who you deal with on a day-to-day basis and knowing your team really well, you won't waste time in things that maybe you can't change, or, you know, this call's coming in, you know how long it's going to take, or you know how to respond for it. And if you're in, say, a really bad mood and this person could possibly, they make it worse every time. I feel like there's a lot of, you know, little things that can make your life harder or
get the whiskey easier when that phone call rings.
Yeah. Oh, God. Let's
go. Yeah.
No, I'm trying to not let that be my go-to.
Same.
Yeah, not very well, but working on it.
What else we got?
Well, so something else that I think is really interesting is, so, you know, we've talked before about the coaching column that Martin is doing. That's a lot. That's really, like, hyper focused on your numbers and looking at that. And so this is something that I find so helpful. So just talking about the effects of price changes, both positive and negative. And he's got these great charts where it's like, you know, you look at your margin, you look at the discount, and then you see like what you have to achieve to win back that discount, right? So it's like, and the same thing for if you increase your prices, like what can you, how much business can you lose to make the same amount of money, right? And so I just, that is, it's just so helpful to see that put in a visual where it's like, okay, if I do a 35% discount, or if my margins are like 35% and I do a 20% discount, I have to get 133% more business to make up for that. So I am not a numbers person. I have to have a chart because that's the only way that that is going to compute in my head. And that kind of stuff is so important because I think we just throw that stuff against the wall without really looking at the numbers to back it up. So it's like, okay, and we talk in our industry a lot about raising prices, right? So, but everyone's worried about if I raise my price, I'm going to lose a customer. Well, okay, but how many customers can you lose and actually still be making what you're making now? Not even more, but what you're making now. And so it's like, So if you increase your prices by like 10% and your margins are 35%, like you could lose 22% of your customers and still make the exact same amount of money. Like that's the kind of stuff that is just like, I need to see that visually. And so that is very, very helpful to me. And so this is not like the most riveting kind of content, but in so many ways, it's like the stuff that we need to be paying attention to. And so anyway, I thought I was happy with how that turned out. And I was glad we had some good charts to go along with it.
I heard that. Somebody said to me early in business, they're like, you know, if you increase your prices tomorrow 50% and you lost 50% of your customers, wouldn't you feel better? You'd have half the work, but you'd be making the same money. There is some like some yeah, area exactly. in there where there is a equation that works.
Yeah. I mean,
no, exactly. And we've got it for you. You don't even, all you have to know is your margin. So if you know your margin, you can just plug in the other stuff and see how that actually works out. Because yeah, it's like, it is an actual formula, which so much of us just run our businesses on our gut, right? Instead of on the actual numbers. We're all guilty of it. And so, I don't know. And this just brings that home for me awesome. A little bit.
I think there's a lot of people that when they got into the pool business, they looked at what, you know, maybe the industry standards or rates pricing was, and they put it there and just never adjusted it. I do think, you know, some of the positives coming from, you know, the chlorine being so expensive and COVID, mm-hmm. you know, I think people really started to look, you know, at their pricing because it's like, you can't ignore it anymore.
Yeah.
Because if you're charging the same prices, you're pretty, you might as well be paying them, you know, the customer.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if there is like one positive to come out of all of that, that is it, right? Is that everyone is like, oh, I do have to charge a real price for this and not just what I think people would pay me. Like, what do I actually need to charge to keep my business alive?
Well, that's cool that's in there. Man, this thing is jam-packed. There's tons of stuff in here.
I was going to ask you guys. So in Phoenix, when they're remodeling a pool, do they usually like hydroblast it?
I saw that in there. So there is a company here that bought the rig and was doing it for a long time. Yeah, that was
really?
That was actually one of the big names here. And then that was pre-08. I haven't seen it prevalent since, though. I don't know if anybody's got the rig, yeah.
Really? Oh, man, that's so interesting. I think that was one of the like the shockers when I went to the last NPC conference is that I was talking to some of these companies that sell this equipment. And as I was talking to him, I was like, oh, yes, this is great, like for remodels and stuff. Like, you know, a lot of people are trying to do that now. And he's like, yeah, but you know, it's going to make financial sense. And then you started talking about how expensive it was. And I was like, oh, okay, this is why.
Aren't they like $500,000 a rig or something like that? Or
They're very, very expensive. You got to be a pretty big operation for sure to make that worth it.
It's not a lot of water, I don't think. I know that the machinery, I know that they get in a full suit and it makes a mess. They got to like really like tarp everything off and then they just go to town.
Just curious, because I know I saw on the news yesterday that they're trying to like bring the same laws on the size of the pool here in Arizona, the same as they did in Vegas back when they did. But they're, man, it seems like they're looking into every single thing that uses water.
Did they talk about, in your article, did they talk about the dust? Like, the other nice side effect is no dust.
Yes. No, and so, well, it's kind of funny because that was something that I kept, when the writer sent us the story, I kept sending it back and saying we have to talk about the silica, right? Like, that, because that's part of that. Because in some areas of the country, like, you can't grind out a pool because of those restrictions. But it was really hard to get people to comment on that part of it. So it was interesting. But yes, the dust is for sure a big a reason why you can do this. And I think in some areas, you almost have to because the OSHA restrictions are so tight, or whether it's state or OSHA or whatever, are so tight in their area that they can't, you know, they can't do it by hand. But yeah, so like, I mean, so Allen Smith Pools, obviously huge in California in plastering and remodels and all that. So they do water, they water blast. But that was interesting too. The reason they do it is because the finished product is so much better.
Better bite, right?
Versus shipping it out by hand. Yeah. So that was the, that was what I, you know, I was expecting like, you know, efficiency and dust, and you can do it faster. And they're like, no, we just do it because of the liability and it's better. So like, all right, well, that's a good reason to do it too. But you know, again, they're huge and can afford that kind of equipment. So, but yeah, I would love to see, I'd love to see that in person. So if anyone out there is planning on, hydroblasting a pool, I want to see it. Let me know.
Maybe in Monkey Island and you could knock out two birds, one stone.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Perfect. Perfect. I love that.
So do you have anything else that you want to cover, Megan, or?
What about the marketing?
No. Change? So those are.
Was there the article on the marketing change?
We're trying not to flip through the magazine because it's super loud.
I know, right? Yeah, I know. And this one's shipped late. And so, yeah, of course you don't have one to actually look at. That's really fun. So, so yeah, no, that marketing article is really good. Do you guys know Kelly Skill at all? He's the marketing guy at SSG Pools, South Shore Gunite Pools over on the East Coast. But he also does kind of his own marketing stuff on the side. And so he wrote this article about like cyclical marketing in the pool industry. And it was just like reading that, I was just like, yes, Kelly, thank you. This is, I mean, it's, I don't want to say it's basic, but it's just like, it was one of those things that just felt really good to have someone put in writing and just be like, this is what you do. Like, this is how you do it. And it's not, you know, it's, yes, we all have budgets. This is how I allocate my budget for it to make sense for the whole year so that I'm not wasting money. And I was just like, it's just really some solid advice. Thank you very much. If there's one last thing I would talk about, is that, I bought a new business, so that we talk about it a little bit in the magazine, but I just wanted to give a little mention to it here. We'll have a lot more about it coming up. But I bought the trade certified business from my old boss. And so it was mostly a hot tub program, but I see such a great opportunity for it on the service side of the pool industry, because what we do is, you know, you sign up to become trade certified, and the certification process is basically us going through your business licenses to make sure you're actually a legitimate company. And if you are, then you get to say that you are trade certified, which I think for certain parts of our industry and certain parts of the country can be a super valuable marketing tool. You know, for the people who are out there trying to like to beat out the underground economy. So there's my very small pitch for trade certified, since that's the new thing in our life right now.
Where can people find out more information? I mean, can people sign up or?
Yes. So if you go to tradecertified.com right now, there's basically at this point, there's just kind of an interest form. And then in the next month, we will actually have the portal live where you can sign up and do that. And people were still like faxing it. So we're not doing that anymore. So
yikes.
there'll be a pool. Yeah, so there'll be a portal where you can sign up and do that all online, and we'll have our people check you out, make sure you are actually in the pool business.
That's good. Yeah. Get rid of some of that riffraff.
Well, I don't know if we'll get rid of them, but at least, you know, the people who are looking for someone to work on their pool, they can say, you know, nothing else.
Yeah.
At least they have insurance.
Well, thank you very much, Megan. Appreciate you being on the podcast. I know that this issue might not be out when we're talking, but hopefully within the next week or two when this publishes, it'll be at all the SAP Superior and places like that.
I mean, this one's definitely, it's definitely out. Has it arrived is the question. The answer should be yes. The answer should be yes. But, you know, some markets like paper are still tight.
Well, where else can people find out more information about Pool Pro Magazine?
Yeah, so you can hop on poolpromag.com, sign up for a free subscription. We'll send it to you. But you can also pick one up for free at SCP and Superior Pool Products. And, of course, on all of the socials, you can find us, almost all of them. We're not on Threads yet.
I was going to say, what about Threads?
You're gonna get
We're talking.
You don't want the long number.
We're talking.
So they keep talking about is like
4769.
Yeah, you got on late because you're like, you know, in the billions once you finally sign up.
Oh man, so if we already missed, are we already not cool?
We already failed.
Like, has that already happened to me? No, guys.
Anyway, you did good. You had the cold and got through the whole episode without sniffling too much. So you're good.
It's the tea. It's the honey tea.
Thank you, Megan.
See ya.
Thanks, guys. Good talking to you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us some feedback. We'd love to hear from you. You can find everything discussed in this episode and more in our show notes below or poolchasers2.0.com. This episode was produced by the amazing Kyle Auld. I'm Greg Viafania, and you've been listening to the Pool Chasers Podcast.